The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you live and local in our WTBR studio right here on Federico Drive in Pittsfield. And what a great day. It's Friday, March 8th. You've made it to Friday, everybody. Congratulations. And also congratulations out there to the Pittsfield High School boys basketball team. My goodness, what a game yesterday that you probably watched either by going to the game at their home under the dome, or perhaps you had a chance to watch it on PCTV, one of the channels, or one of our web streams. My goodness, they beat Medfield last night 76-65, and that brings them to the Final Four, the state Final Four in their division, for the first time since the early 70s, from what I understand. That is excellent news for the PHS boys. And so they're in the dance for sure. And tonight we have another game. We have the Taconic High Thunder. They'll be going up against, I forget the team, I think it was Norwell, perhaps. One of the sort of favorite darling teams in the tournament, from what I understand. And they will be fighting for their chance to go to the Final Four as well. And this is looking like it could be, knock on wood here, a Pittsfield final two games. My goodness, that could happen. But congratulations, first of all, to the PHS boys from last night's victory. And also just a great day out there. A little bit of black ice in some of the intersections, so watch out. That'll burn off today. We're going to be getting up into the 50s from what I hear, and mostly sunny, which is a nice change of pace from the last few days of rain and clouds. Pete White is our guest here this morning. He is the president of the Pittsfield City Council. We always have a great conversation with Pete when he's here. We've got a lot to talk about this morning. First, let's go to the weather forecast and see what is in store from the National Weather Service. We'll go to that right now. Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, patchy fog this morning. Sunny.
Perfect time.
Highs in the mid-50s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with lows in the upper 20s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, cloudy. A chance of rain and snow in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. Southeast wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there's your weather forecast. And I do hear that we're going to get kind of a clearing and a warm-up, but we are going to get some rain and snow Saturday night into Sunday. That's what I was hearing recently, so... Yep, March is here for sure. You never know what you're going to get. You get a nice warm sunny day, and you get a kind of a yucky day, snow and rain, and you know, we get to deal with that. All right, welcome to Morning Drive again. Morning Drive is on 89.7 WTBR-FM, and joining me now in the studio, Mr. Pete White. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Doing okay for this time of the morning.
Yeah, was not expecting the frost on the windshield this
right. Morning. Yeah, we thought we were done with that already, right? Well, I had heard that the ice is already out of the lakes, and it's really, you know, unprecedented to be March 6th, March 7th, March 8th, and have no ice at all on Pontusic Lake, for example, and Noda Lake. My goodness.
Well, definitely with climate change, we're definitely seeing a completely different Berkshires, and I don't think we know what to expect.
Right.
And who I feel for is the ski areas, because, you know, they still have snow on them. You know, spring skiing used to be one of my favorite things to do, well, actually snowboarding, but occasionally I would pull out the skis. And, you know, the economy is different, and we need to support those businesses when we can that depend on winter.
Right. Well, good enough they had some snowmaking possibilities. We had some cold weather out there this year, but yeah, it might be nice to get some folks on from Bosque and talk about the winter and see how they did. Maybe we'll do that in a future show. But we're on to spring, as Bill Belichick would say. Winter's behind it. We're on to spring. That's kind of where we're headed right now. And we normally think that there might be one good snowstorm in March, but I don't know. It doesn't look that way this year.
Yeah, you never know.
Right.
March can be definitely a lion.
Yeah. See that. So I just said before you arrived in the studio that we wanted to congratulate the PHS boys on their victory last night under the dome at PHS, and that brings them to the Final Four for the first time since 1973, I believe.
Yeah, we have such impressive young athletes in Pittsfield, both at Taconic and PHS. Mm. It's been a joy to watch them on PCTV. I usually catch a little bit of the end of the games, and those wins have been exciting, yeah, both for our, you know, PHS Generals and Taconic Thunder. I know we got to greet the Taconic Thunder hockey team when they came in from winning Western Mass Championships, and we're going to be honoring, stay tuned before, you know, when the council meeting starts to start honoring some youth.
Right, great. And tonight, of course, is the Taconic Thunder game, playing their game to get into the Final Four dance as well in their division. So stay tuned to PCTV for that, or go to the game. It's right here in Pittsfield. It'd be one thing if you had to travel 3 or 4 hours to go to the game. You just got to go down the street and show these kids your support. So maybe that's what you want to do tonight.
You know, and how great would that be, having two Pittsfield teams, you know, going at it in the end?
That could happen.
Just showing the work of our coaches and our athletic programs at the Pittsfield Public Schools.
Yeah, and it could very well happen, and that would be, I think, a first. I can't even think maybe some of the sports historians can tell us if that's ever happened before, but I suspect it has not. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So lots of stuff going on at the city council level. Obviously, I think this is the first time we've had you back on the show since you were elected the president of the city council. So I'll say congratulations to that,
first of all.
And so as we get through the early sort of few meetings of the winter and early spring, we start looking forward to the budgeting process, and I know that's going to be a bit of a challenge this year as sort of the financial winds shift a little bit, especially on the state side. So let's talk about maybe some of the priorities that you see coming up in this year's budget process.
I think the priorities, Sean, are similar, you know, if not exactly to what we were hearing during the campaign. Mm. You know, we need to try to not have a big raise in taxes while continuing to provide public services. Mm-hmm. When everyone says lower, you know, don't raise my taxes, lower my taxes, what I try to ask and I never really get an answer to, they say that's your job, is what would you like to see, you know, where could we cut back on, mm-hmm, you know, where can we spend less money? The efficiency, I think, in many departments is already there. So when they say trim the fat, it's really difficult to trim what's already been trimmed. Mm-hmm.
And still provide the services that people expect.
And providing the services is the big part. Nobody mm-hmm wants potholes. Nobody mm-hmm wants bad roads. Everyone wants good sidewalks. They want their snow plowed, good schools, you know, sand and salt mm-hmm down. Trash picked up. Everything mm-hmm they should expect. You know, with our sewer and water rates, when you flush the toilet, you want it to go mm-hmm away. And when you turn the faucet on, you want clean water to come in. And those things cost money, and we will be, you know, Mayor Marchetti's first budget's already being scrutinized after the first meeting of the city council, you know, to come in as close to level funded as possible, mm, which could mean big cuts mm if that were to actually, you know, be what he puts forward. I did not vote for that because I didn't think at the first meeting of the council we needed to reinforce what he had already said during the campaign, during his inaugural address. You know, we all know what it is. We all pay taxes ourselves. You know, city councilors, you know, are not exempt from any taxes or anything else, and the stipend is not that much to where, you know, we can afford to raise taxes and not have to worry about it. I know for my own, they've gone up significantly.
Right. Yeah, this past year seemed to be especially difficult for some folks because you had kind of two things coming together. You had a significant increase from last year in the tax rate, and then also people's homes were reevaluated, and that was really the first time that kind of impacted at the same time. So a lot of people's bills went up you know, much higher, let's say, than the rate of inflation or the rate that their Social Security checks went up or they got a raise at work. So that's the imbalance, right, that sometimes people feel, and that probably comes to you folks at the council to say, hey, you got to do something about this.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to sound cold or heartless on it because I know there are people struggling out there, not just our seniors, our young adults trying to establish themselves, our middle class who are fighting every day. It's not easy for anyone right now, and we need more support from the federal and state government, and we need to make sure that, you know, we keep advocating that they do continue to support us. You know, property taxes are the worst form of running a city, but they're our main source of revenue. You know, we get a little money from the marijuana sales, hotel, motel room taxes, and then meals taxes. But the primary way of funding the government is through property tax.
And the other things are, what do they call, local receipts, things like that. Excise taxes being another thing. It can be difficult because you have to think about all these things that come across your desk to, oh, yeah, that's right, I got to pay that in March, don't I, on the car. Those do keep the wheels running here at the city. And when you have the removal of some of the, let's say, the state support, and I know that there's a lot of talk right now about how will the governor's budget and the state budget affect Pittsfield, because there are certain areas that Pittsfield really depends on that money, schools being one of them, and I believe it was a Chapter 90, which is the funding that comes in and helps with things like road repair and things like that.
Yeah, it's
like, how dependent is the city, let's say, on some of that funding?
To a fair share. You know, Chapter 90, we always talk about with what roads we can do, and just using free cash. Over the last few years, I think we've actually worked on more roads or put more money towards roads than any other administrations that I can remember in the past. So we rely on the state, but we're also trying to use those, the unexpected or the dollars that come in at the end of the year that were not spent frivolously just to get rid of them at the end of the year, that were turned into free cash. You know, we're trying to turn that back for, you know, real bang for the buck for residents. So that's why last time we approved, close to $7 million for roads. You know, that's unprecedented.
Yeah.
And going with that, I hope we're continuing to improve our infrastructure, because we've been talking a lot behind the scenes with people about how, 50, 60, 70 years ago when all this infrastructure was put in, it was great for that generation to have new schools, to have new roads, to have new water and sewer. The time has come where most of those things are near the end of their life, and we have to start thinking about replacing them. And, I hope a lot of people tune in, as far as looking at replacements go. You know, PCTV was there for a long tour that we took of Conti and Crosby a few nights ago.
Right.
And going into having a statement of interest put forward by the school department to whether we're going to look at building a new school at the Crosby site. Without PCTV, a lot of people would not have been able to make that. I hope a lot of people watch the presentation and look at the ways that the school department is looking at transforming not just one site, but the way education is delivered in Pittsfield. We definitely want to hear feedback on that. And I think Pittsfield Community Television is the best way for people to catch up on that process if they haven't so far. Because as we look at how we use buildings, how we use all of our resources, that goes into, what is paid out in taxes and, what it costs us to run this city. And having inefficient buildings is not a good way to run a city, nor having an education system with buildings that once were set up for, middle school, not, being used as an elementary school. If we have an opportunity with the school building, needs funding to be able to only pay somewhere, if we're lucky, around 75 to 78%
That would be the portion that the state would pay, right? So we would pay the balance for that.
Yeah, so if we only have to pay what the state doesn't, you know, we have to strongly at least look at that.
Mm. And certainly that feeds into some other discussions about education and about the age of the school buildings, right? As you have assets like that in a community, in a city, especially ones that were built, in the Crosby's case, more than 60 years ago, those buildings are really only designed to last so long, and you can maintain them all you want. Obviously, this school is in its sort of second iteration, as you mentioned, built as a junior high school, and you build junior high schools differently than you build an elementary school. And some of that came out, I think, in that meeting and the tour, which, by the way, if anyone is interested in watching that, currently it is up and available at the pittsfieldtv.org website. You can click on Watch. And then go to city meetings, and you'll find it there. Joint City Council School Committee and School Building Needs Commission meeting from March 5th. Easily watchable pretty much anytime. I'm sure it'll be scheduled as well on the CityLink channel. So, you know, getting people informed on this stuff, if you're not there at the meeting, sometimes it's difficult to grasp all those small details. And there are a lot of details, right? When you start talking about replacing a school building and getting funding for it.
There are. And besides sitting through the presentation the other night, I was able to sit through part of the presentation when it was given at Conti, and looking at, you know, why they're looking to do different groupings.
Yeah.
And not doing things just because they've always been done this way. Mm-hmm. But how can we, you know, as a city, you know, our elected school committee, our school department, how can they provide the best possible education for the most students, so we're not looking at more students choosing out, and so we're really preparing the next generation to be the ones leading us.
Mm-hmm. What were some of your observations as you walked through those two school buildings, Conti Community School, which is on the west side of Pittsfield, and actually they're both really on the west side, Crosby Elementary School over on West Street. When you walked through both of those buildings, what did you think when you saw them? And their condition and how appropriate they are in the sort of teaching and learning that is necessary for our students these days.
As far as condition goes, there's definitely some areas that, you know, I'm not going to say I'm shocked at how they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say they're horrible
mm-hmm.
either.
Mm-hmm.
I think our janitors and our maintenance staff have done everything they can to keep old buildings looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely parts that, you know, I wouldn't want to look at. But from an education standpoint, if we can lay out buildings to really cater to modern education and having classroom groupings, you know, and being able to lay out a school with a lot of thought, it's going to be a huge game changer. You know, I went to Morningside.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Westside for pre-kindergarten before it was named Conti. And those open classrooms, we know, have been a problem for years.
Right.
The teachers do a phenomenal job, with the way they set up the classrooms. And as Superintendent Curtis was showing us, you know, you do your group area in the farthest corner away from where the other teacher is doing the group area, so you're not talking over each other, which is something, you know, in a couple hours from probably about an hour and a half from now, I'll be over at Morningside reading to students. And I can remember plenty of times reading there where you can hear the next classroom being read to. And
it's a very odd layout, right? And I went to a high school that had that layout, so I'm personally familiar with it. And it may even be amplified when it gets to the high school level. It was a concept, right, from the 60s and 70s. They started building some schools like that, thinking that it would increase creativity and collaboration between students and teachers. It was a concept, right? Very heavy on concept and very light on actual practicality. And when it came down to it, when you have these big open areas that are sort of just divided by closets and cabinets and desks and barriers and things, it doesn't necessarily lead to really good, you know, teaching and learning. It's just difficult. It's not impossible, right? But it seems to be something you wouldn't do today when you're building a school.
Definitely not. And I think our teachers and educators definitely have collaborated. They've made the most out of those schools. I had a good education, at Morningside, you know, looking at what we look at now with different learning abilities and, you know, people on the spectrum, people who are more easily distracted for ADHD, whatever reasons, you know, we have to make sure our education system works for people who are more neurotypical and neurodiverse. And having those open classrooms makes that difficult. So I'm glad that they're looking at for Conti, and then in the later plans for Morningside, what could be done, and constantly working. You know, I always said when I ran for school committee back in 2007, in a lot of ways it was harder than being on the city council.
Yeah.
Because there's so much detail that doesn't come as natural to me as what the municipal side of city government comes to me.
Yeah, I think it feels like you have to really immerse yourself in those details of the education system, and then also funding and all the other things that have to, and all the regulations, everything that happens with regards to education. We're speaking with Pete White. He's the Pittsfield City Council President here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, and we're just sort of discussing the recent tour of Conti and Crosby schools for the ultimate purpose, Pete, right, of putting in a statement of interest. So this is something where both the city council and the school committee need to vote in the next month to get this statement of interest authorized and sent to the state for what? Now, what's the process look like for this?
It'll get us in line for that funding that we were talking about, the 75 to potentially 80% having the state cover a new school. And it's really just the statement of interest. There's time for us to not be committed to it once we hear some numbers come back, but we need to get in line to be part of the process because we know if we either look at renovating or having a completely new school built because of building costs and because of all of the things you run into with renovations, the costs are similar. So for me, if we can get in line, you know, to at least be looking at what it would cost us to have education go to that next level, we need to at least continue to get in line. That doesn't mean that the city council or even myself will vote for it when it comes to us. I think on March 26th, I think it's at the school committee level at March 13th,
which is next week, right?
Yeah. You know, I've been hearing from a lot of different people, and what I, you know, like to ask is, when's the last time you were in either of those schools? You know, doesn't the West Side deserve a state-of-the-art complex similar to what we see at Taconic? And being able to put new in, it needs to be a factor in what we look at, but then also what's it going to add to the tax rate. You know, we'd be bonding over at least 20 years. So it's not a like immediate that you have to pay it this year. But it does add a cost, and, you know, Taconic is still being paid for a little while longer. And, you know, we're looking at a new Wacona Park where we are in desperate need of a new police station. Our fire station needs upgrades. You know, I can't wait for those new windows to go in. I think they're working at the substations, and then they're working their way to headquarters. But we need to make sure that our city buildings are upkept. And
well, maintenance is a very important thing, and we'll get to the Wacona Park issue in the second half. I know we'll have a good talk about that. But, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you want something new, either new or good and functional, and then not maintain it over the course of 10, 20, 30, 50 years, right? You have to continue to keep these things and invest in them, not just sweep the floors and keep things clean, but to actually replace windows and replace roofs and, you know, carpeting, painting. I mean, all the things that go into keeping a building functional over those years. But back to the school issue for a moment. So the statement of interest, and just so people understand, this was made pretty clear that night during the tour, that nothing has been decided yet, right? There's a master plan that is sort of like the blueprint for what may happen. But a lot of things can change in there. And then in order to get the statement of interest authorized, we don't even know that the state will fund a project like this yet. And we won't know that until when? Later this year?
You know, I'm sure one of our school committee members who deal with this on a week, you know, a day-to-day basis could tell you the exact timeline. But yeah, later in the year, And this is just getting in line to say, asking the state, would you fund this?
Right.
And I believe when Taconic was funded, Crosby was actually the site that was submitted and wasn't approved. Mm-hmm. And that's when they looked at Taconic.
Right.
And, you know, from the presentation the other night, renovations at PHS would be next on the docket for the next school we look at. And then I believe the elementary school that they would look at next is Morningside. Mm.
But this process right now doesn't commit the city to spend any money at this time to change our budget, to bond any schools or anything like that. It's a step on the process, right?
A step in the process after after it's approved. The next step, if we were to fund it, would be a feasibility study, which I think they said somewhere between 1.2 and 1.5 million.
Mm. Which, again, part of that is also paid for by the state.
Paid for supposedly by the state once the project is done. So I think we go up front with the bonding, and then it's reimbursed over time.
Right.
And it's a careful process, but it's a process that we at least have to partake in, seeing what could be done and then decide should it be done. And I think before the feasibility study, if we decided to, you know, even if we were approved, we could still pull out if the numbers just do not work.
Mm. And we started this discussion about the budget. And so this is more of a long-term project, right? We're talking about eventually we might see a reduction in the number of school buildings that Pittsfield operates. We have much fewer population than we did in the 1950s when all these school buildings were originally envisioned and built and operated. And maybe we just don't need as many buildings as we have, and maybe there's some cost savings there. But the amount of time that we'll take to realize that cost savings, that's not going to help us with this fiscal year.
Yeah, and going back to, you asked me, you know, what the most shocking thing during the tour was, and I think it was part of the presentation when Joe Curtis, the superintendent, was telling us that there were protests when Conti was first opened as Westside, that there were neighborhood activists that did not want to see, like, Tucker and some of the other neighborhood schools close because we already have seen a constricture from where we were at way back in the day, you know, before my time in school, where we had neighborhood schools. Everyone could walk to an elementary school at least, and then we started consolidating into smaller sites down to, I think, where the 12 schools that we have now. And, you know, we're looking at that again of saying, you know, most parents are dropping their kids off anyway. You know, we have long bus or long drop-off lines at each school. You know, how can we configure these schools to best serve the population we have now, the students, the parents, and what the educational needs are now? And knowing from all of the things we've learned in what's not been done so well, you know, how can we not make those mistakes, and how can we just provide the best education, which I think is the the full, you know, the best thing a city can do is prepare the youth for what comes next.
Well, and it's a careful dance, right, of those economic forces that, you know, affect all of us in the city budget. And you may wonder why I'm asking a city councilor all these questions about schools, but, you know, it's an integral part. There is a separately elected school committee, and they make a lot of these decisions, but they're city buildings, and the school budget is what, about 40% or so or more of the city's budget. So certainly these are decisions that do have to be made in conjunction with the city council, and you know, sort of the trajectory of that is something that is important to all the citizens, regardless of whether you have a student in school, if you're a family with students or grandchildren even. You may not have any of those connections, and yet the quality and the level of education that comes out of our community does affect everything from property values, right, to just about everything in the community.
Yeah, and I you know, normally defer to the school committee. If anyone asks me a question, I say we do have an elected school committee, but the city councilors do have to pay attention to what's going on in our schools, just because we have to approve that budget in the end. We do not get line item control over it. We're not, you know, a part of determining exactly what they put forward, but at the end of the fiscal year, before, you know, approving a new budget, we do have to approve what they're spending. So it's very important for city councilors and the entire city to pay attention to what's going on in the biggest, you know, paid department in our budget.
Right, for sure. Peter White is our guest here this morning. He is the city council president in the city of Pittsfield and city councilor at large as well. And we'll be talking with Pete more in the second half of the show. We're coming up to that time where we take our little half hour break here right at the top of the hour. And we've got lots more to talk about. City hit a milestone just this week in the water treatment plant. We'll talk about that. Wakona Park is on a lot of people's minds. Certainly road work and trash, all kinds of good stuff to talk about with the city council president right here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. We will be right back after this short break. So stick with us. Here we go.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Another hour of powerhouse hits. We will rock you from the station that rocks. 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from MyCom Federal Credit Union, 101 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, where their mission is to continue to promote the principle of people helping people while providing services that meet the diverse and ever-changing needs of their membership. MyCom Federal Credit Union, online at mycomcu.org. And, do you need help heating your home? Berkshire Community Action Council may be able to help. The Fuel Assistance Program is accepting new applications beginning November 1st. This program assists with your primary heating source, including all heating types. Once you're eligible for fuel assistance, you're also eligible for a discount on your electric bill. Go to bcacinc.org for more information. Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Hi, I'm Hannah with Berkshire Business and Professional Women. We are an inclusive organization that empowers women in the Berkshires. Members represent various professional backgrounds with a common goal, to be our best selves. Whatever that journey looks like, BBPW is here to help with programming and professional development opportunities. Through our scholarship program, we support the aspirations of Berkshire women furthering their goals. To learn more about us, please visit berkshirebpw.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the program. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. I'm Sean Sayre here with Peter White, the president of the Pittsfield City Council, and we're talking about all kinds of things going on at the city council level and in the city in general. We'll be right back to that conversation in just a moment. Let's first quickly hit the weather one more time and see what the National Weather Service has got in store for us for the next day and a half or so.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, patchy fog this morning. Sunny. Highs in the mid-50s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with lows in the upper 20s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, cloudy. A chance of rain and snow in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. southeast wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And I was hearing most of that rain and possibly snow is going to be hitting later on in the day, Saturday night over into Sunday morning. So we're not quite done with our winter weather yet. All right. Welcome back to the show. Peter White is here. Pete, thanks for being here this morning. As always, always a good conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great for us to be able to connect with the community this way. I know a lot of people tune in. If not live, they catch replays, I know, but a lot of people on that morning drive-in, perfectly named for the show, you know, I'll hear throughout the day that, hey, why'd you say that? You messed up on this. So it's good to know people are keeping me on my toes.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear from people. I hear from people, too, say that they make it part of their morning routine, and I appreciate that. And anyone else wants to tell us that, you can always call us here at WTBR PCTV 445-4234. Or email us at info@pittsfieldtv.org and let us know you're listening and watching. It's always nice to know. So let's talk about Wacona Park, since we're on city buildings and structures, and that's another big item you mentioned in the first half of the show, and it's been on people's minds, I think, for quite a while, ever since the grandstand was deemed unsafe for use, and the Pittsfield Suns did try a couple of seasons with a temporary bleachers and grandstands, and this year decided to pause their season while things get worked out. The designs seem to be in. They're sort of sharpening their pencils a little bit, trying to get those numbers down to a palatable area. The mayor has now said $15 million from the city side is going to be the limit. He's going to say that's going to be it, and everything else has got to come from somewhere else. How are we going to get this done?
Well, the committee led by our vice president, Councilor at Large Earl Persip, and a great number of people working with him are looking at those ways to get it done. You know, they've put in a lot of work already. Yes, they've addressed the flooding, because regardless of how many times we say it, whenever Wacona Park comes up, well, what about the flooding?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's an elevated design. You can look at the plans on the city website. The water would run under and not have as much of an impact. They're also looking at doing a different grade in the parking lot. Hmm. Right now, the way it goes out and it stays there with this slightly different grade. It would have a place to recede.
Hmm.
So it wouldn't just sit and pool. It could actually go back to where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they've looked at the flooding issues. And
so those
now,
are things that are manageable.
Yeah.
That can happen.
And I'm not going to say that price tag is, you know, manageable or, you know, fully palatable at this time, but $15 million from the city is what the mayor's willing to commit to. So, you know, I'm willing to commit to trying to get there because what we hear from people all the time, which I don't agree with, you know, just look at the Love Pittsfield, look at Downtown Pittsfield Inc., look at, you know, Bosque, look at all of our great places trying to do things, but people still say there's nothing to do here. And there may not be everything to do here, but I don't think that we can take Wacona Park lightly and say that we don't need it because it provides great entertainment over the summer, but also this new design is not for just baseball. And we're not looking at just having another baseball park. We're looking at having a multi-use venue, concerts, potentially hockey in the winter, you know, having other games hosted there, but also having other events hosted there. You know, I've seen wrestling over the years. I've seen Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson down at Wacona Park.
Right.
You know, those are the things that I think people can buy into. And that's what we will be doing. This will be a city facility that taxpayers are buying into. And, you know, we need to hear from them of what sort of things, what sort of lineups they want to see there. You know, if I don't have to go to SPAC, you know, to see a bigger act. You know, we're lucky to be able to drive right up the road to Mass Mocha and see great acts, but why shouldn't we have those in Pittsfield?
Right.
You know, why are we looking to leave Pittsfield when we can have events like that happen here at a multi-use venue?
I'll tell you, growing up in North Adams sort of at the tail end of the Sprague Electric days where, you know, you could see the decline of the area. It was palatable. And a lot of people my age and my generation did leave and couldn't find, a path forward for their hometown, right? And I go back now when I go to Mass Mocha for various reasons, sometimes for those concerts. And I look around and I'm amazed. I'm like, could I have ever conceptualized myself sitting here in this venue watching a band that I like, in a concert? And my answer was not a chance when I was in high school or, you know, early adulthood. So in a way, that's a rebirth, right? And you think about that and you say, why not Pittsfield? Why couldn't we do the same type of thing with a venue like Wacona Park?
Yeah, and we need to be looking outside the box. You know, I've heard from behind the scenes that in Mayor Marchetti's meeting, it's a go bold or go home with their efforts. And we need to be looking at ways that we can change how things have been done in Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as people say there's nothing going on and things, I think there's been like 7 or 8 new businesses opened up on North Street, you know, leading into that Wacona Street corridor. I know tomorrow at, I believe it's 307 North Street around 3:00, Bomb Shack is doing their grand opening.
What is Bomb Shack?
Bomb Shack is Jake Seeley, who many people know as a huge BMX, you know, star in our area. Who's done pop-up shops with vintage clothing. We've seen him at Third Thursday, or we've seen him at, like, not Third Thursdays, but we've seen them at farmers markets. He's done some big pop-ups over in the Polish Falcons lot, the Polish Community Center, not Polish Falcons, on Linden. And now he's opening his own vintage clothing shop.
Okay.
And I am so excited. Vintage clothing has, like, blown up as far as popularity. You know, we see, you know, people wanting to embrace those older, you know, stylish looks.
Right.
And now, you know, he's taken the risk in opening a shop up on North Street. And I think that the community just needs to go out, check him out, support him. I know I've gotten some stuff from him, you know, and I've picked up some old, even Pittsfield memorabilia. From different vintage places, and I think it just adds to that synergy. You know, you've got Circa, you've got Dorothy's, BB's food, and you have Dolce, you know, beauty shop that just opened for beauty supplies. So many things. Espetino, I hate to start on the list because there's just so many things. You know, Placita Latina, Hot Plate, you know, so many things going on in the downtown. And all over Pittsfield.
And all you have to do is look. It's there, right? I mean, it's easy to say there's nothing to do, there's nowhere I want to go. And then you start thinking about it and you're like, no, there's a lot of things happening there. And as we've spoken with Rebecca Breen from Downtown Pittsfield, Inc., there's a lot of opportunity also. There are people taking those risks and putting new stores and new entertainment venues, new restaurants, things like that. They're really going for it. And people are starting to respond. So it seems like it's a cyclical thing in some ways, that things come and go and they have their downs and their ups. And now it feels like we're kind of going toward that up again.
Yeah. Giant shout out to Rebecca Breen with Downtown Pittsfield, Inc., Jen Glockner, and everything that Cultural Pittsfield does down there, but also Julie Kopolis with Mass Development, our TDI fellow, just being able to bring in more grant money for facade and for full opening up of new businesses downtown. And, you know, I would love for us to be talking about all of Pittsfield. You know, a lot of times we go for where the grant money is. Mass Development is willing to invest in North Street and Tyler Street. But that's not to say we don't have great things going on out in Coatesville. You know, if I need a watch battery changed, you know, or some jewelry, I'll definitely go out there. The shops at Allendale, you know, in Berkshire Crossing, you know, all of Pittsfield, the Elm Street area.
There are these pockets of activity, right? Economic activity. I was thinking Elm Street. I was thinking West Housatonic Street is another one. So there, we definitely have so many things happening in different areas, and it's good to see. Obviously, there's a lot of room to grow and a lot more to be done. A couple things that we want to talk about, they're kind of public works type issues that, again, come before the city council. And those are budget priorities as well when we get talking about how much goes toward road work and other types of things. One thing that just happened this week, which is a major milestone, the administrative order from the EPA about the water treatment plant is now finished, right? All done.
Yeah, and I'll admit I'm going to read on this because it is pretty technical, and yeah. I'm not Ricardo, our Commissioner of Public Services, but, you know, the city's finally been issued the administrative order that went into effect on February 11, 2011. This action recognizes the city's successful efforts to meet stringent phosphorus limits in its National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. If you hear the NPDS, you know, they have ways of saying that I'm not going to try to permit, and enhances the capacity management operation and maintenance program. Mm. And, you know, that is our wastewater treatment plant. That is why we had to spend the money down there. That is why, unfortunately, those rates had to go up. Mm-hmm. It was mandated by the EPA.
Yeah.
You know, and
a certain amount of phosphorus, I believe, was the big problem that we were discharging too much of that into the Housatonic River. That was sort of the basis. I'm sure there's a lot more to it.
There is. Yeah. And, you know, when EPA mandates something, you know, luckily they give us some low to no interest loans, mm-hmm. and they help us out a little. But we have to follow that if we're going to continue to provide, you know, waste cleaning services, which we can't just pollute the planet and not, you know, do our part to not have those things going into the Housatonic River, eventually down into Long Island Sound and into the ocean. So,
but this project, as you said, sort of began or had to begin when the administrative order was put in place in 2011. So that's 13 years ago. That's three presidential administrations have happened since then, right? How many different mayors, city councils, people that serve on conservation commissions and everything else, right? This is a long-term project, and it's basically finally wrapping up.
Yeah, I think it spanned three mayors because it would have went in under Mayor Roberto, then during Mayor Bianchi, and then finally taken care of during Mayor Tyer's term.
And finished now under Mayor Marchetti. So actually four, if you think about it.
Yeah, the being lifted under Mayor Marchetti's and definitely Mayor Marchetti's leadership on the city council helped get us to the point of as Councilor Persip would put it, kicking the can down the road. Because as we heard with the school building needs assessment the other night, now it's 7% per year you're adding to construction costs. And we know that if we had done this project back in 2011 at the wastewater treatment plant, it would have cost far less than what it did when the city finally got around to it. So when people say that we can't afford to take on a new project, when we can't afford anymore, that's true. Mm-hmm. But we also have to look at the cost of what's it going to cost us if we don't do it.
Yeah.
And when we eventually have to do it, how much more will it be?
And that's one of those basic things, as you talked about in the first half of the show, that people expect public services from their tax dollars. When they're paying their tax dollars, they're getting many times water that they can drink, wastewater that they can send away, roads that they can drive on, an effective government, the things that you expect to have when you pay for them. And, you know, hey, the taxes are that what they are. You have to pay them, and if you want to live in a society, if you don't, maybe you can find a cabin up in the woods somewhere.
I think even finding a cabin up in the woods has become more difficult because you got to pass a perk test. You've got to be able to provide, you know, how you're going to, you know, get rid of water. You have to get a permit to be able to build.
You've got to live off the grid. Right?
Yeah, so it's become more and more difficult, and, you know, there's always more and more state and federal regulations that have to be followed. And a lot of times the city is just, you know, doing what's mandated and trying to provide good services along the way, and to have it, you know, hopefully not continue to have giant tax increases going forward, because, you know, we definitely hear from people loud and clear that they've had enough.
Yep, for sure. And another big project that is on the verge of happening is the road work that's going to start on, I think, March 18th. I saw the big orange sign on my way to work today for the first time. And that's the project that's going to affect Upper North Street, that intersection of Tyler and First Street, Tyler, North Street near BMC in that area. There's going to be a roundabout being put in. I know I've talked to Commissioner Morales many times here on this show about it, and we sort of followed that progress of, you know, well, it's 25% designed, it's 75%. Okay, we're ready to break ground, and now the rubber's hitting the road on that project, right?
Yeah, I believe that is a state project. Yeah. However, the city does have a lot of input on it, mm-hmm. and, you know, we've heard from many residents and business owners in that area trying to make it the best possible. Some people don't like roundabouts, but they are a way to better take care of traffic at difficult intersections, mm-hmm. less stop and go. You can go through smoother. It takes a little bit of getting used to. We also know that crossing in that area for mm-hmm. pedestrians has been difficult.
And so, that is a pedestrian area, too. There's a lot of people going from building to building and from, you know, trying to cross the street in that area. So I would imagine they have the accident data and everything that causes some of those projects to move forward to say, okay, you really got to do something here.
Yeah, most of the time, you know, I would say I've never seen a project move forward that hasn't had decent accident data and mm-hmm. reasons why that just keeping it the way it is, you know, is a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Commissioner Morales and Engineer Tyler Shedd have worked with us quite a bit to understand the reasoning going on. There's been public meetings on, you know, that specific site. Mm-hmm. But then we also have, you know, a big win for Ward 7 and anyone who has to drive through with the Pex Road Bridge that's going to be finally taken care of.
Yep. Huge for folks up in the north end there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, you know, I take that road all the time when trying to head to my house on Jason Street. And also the road work that wasn't completed at the end of last year's cycle will be completed this year on top of new road work and projects just going on all over the city.
But, of course, some of the road work that could happen after July 1st, that will all be part of this year's budget process. So, again, we tell people stay tuned, stay informed, watch those meetings. There are some subcommittee meetings on public works, and then there are, of course, all of the committee of the whole meetings about budgets, and that's where you hear once the mayor submits his budget to the city council, you'll start to hear some of the really tiny details of that budget and where that money goes. It's a really fascinating process, something that everyone should tune into to hear those details. Let's talk about trash and recycling for a moment, because that is one of those details that I'm sure will be dealt with over the course of this year. Whether it will be part of this year's budget process or not, I don't know. Where's that headed?
We're waiting to see. I know there's talks of the new contract. You know, I'm not privy to those negotiations. However, you know, how the contract is worked out between our hauler and, you know, now the hauler is the place it goes to on Hubbard Ave, and then they have to ship it out to somewhere else because we don't have that building.
The incineration plant.
The incineration plant, because it didn't meet EPA standards.
Right.
Another state mandate that's back costing to the EPA. Us more money.
Right.
Which is good. You know, they're taking care of the environment, but it ends up costing us more money up front, and hopefully will provide better air quality for generations to come.
It certainly smells better in the Price Chopper parking lot now,
it does.
Doesn't it?
It's a lot easier to go shopping now, especially on like the misty, foggy days, you know, but I don't know if we'll, you know, I think we'll be putting it all on the table. I think most communities are going towards carts or, you know, what we were calling toters for efficiency. So I hope that's looked at in this contract and seeing, you know, what Casella or, you know, whoever we end up with could provide to us. I think most people have been fairly happy with the services we've been getting from Casella. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I think even if we put it out to bid, you know, we go down to the Mass Municipal Association Conference just about every year that it's held, and we talk to vendors on the floor at the trade show. I don't think there's a lot of interest in many companies wanting to do the services out here, and we even saw that our last company, Republic Services, before their contract was out, they sold the contract to Casella because they were looking to not be in this area. Mm. So trash collection is, you know, a big business, but it's not always, we're not as competitive of an area as a lot of people think we should be.
What are the processes involved in changing the system from basically a unlimited trash pickup, which is kind of what we're at now, with a recycling component, which people don't necessarily all recycle as much as they could or should, which would save the city money over the and also reduce the amount of trash that could be, you know, have to go to the transfer station and then get taken away at that higher cost. What is the process for changing that? How does that go and decide whether it's going to be a toter system or whether it's going to be a pay-as-you-throw, you know, you buy the bags and you get a certain number of bags? How does that get decided?
Whether it's pay-as-you-throw or a cart system or anything like that would have to be a change in the ordinance. So city law would have to change, but also we have to go with what our hauler is willing to do. So we have to have those, you know, Commissioner Morales and his department having those negotiations of what is Casella or whoever our hauler is going to be is presenting. And then the city council has to decide, are we going to go with this or are we going to try to go into a different direction and try to, you know, save taxpayers as much money as possible, because we know those costs just keep going up and up now that we have to haul it to Hubbard Ave, and then we have to haul it to another facility off-site. It can't be incinerated there. It has to go to a landfill. You know, those are closing across the state.
Do we know how much the costs have gone up since we lost the incinerator plant?
I don't have those numbers in front of me. I know, though, before the incineration plant had gone up between, like, 2015 and 2020, it was, like, a $3 million raise. So it's... I'm sure it's significantly gone higher than that. But that'll be part of the discussions and what's put forward, and just trying to get the best contract negotiated for the citizens of Pittsfield to have. You know, I'm still somebody who thinks, you know, the John Lothrop, former Ward 5 counselor, method that trash collection is a social service. We can't just let trash pile up in our neighborhoods. We can't let it pile up on porches. But I think we also can't be taken advantage of. And a house that puts out 26 bags of trash, you know, being subsidized by the single person, or, you know, everyone goes to the senior who's putting out like one little, you know, tiny trash bag a week. That's unfair to them. We need to come up with a system that's fair for everyone. And we need to have it that you can't put as much trash as you want on the curb. I think it was even more disturbing lately. I think we're at 9 or 9.5% recycling when compared to how much is going into just trash. We used to be at 11%, so we've actually gotten worse from what I've heard. And recycling, you know, whether you see if it's, if you think it's the right thing to do or not, it's cheaper to get rid of recycling for us than it is to get rid of just trash. So please sort your trash and recyclables. Go get a blue bin from City Hall or, you know, the public services department, and help the city out, help yourself out, you know, because you're paying taxes at the end, whether that's through your rent or whether you're paying it directly for being a homeowner. What we put in our trash stream is costing us money. You know, dry out your trash. You know, don't just put everything wet in there because we pay by weight. You know, just compost where you can. You know, there's compost companies popping up in the county that, you know, people can pay for separate compost, or you can do a little compost bin in your own yard.
I think it's a habit like anything else, right? You can get in the habit if you feel that it's a priority, and maybe that's where, you know, that whole system changes to maybe put that priority more on people to say, hey, this is my responsibility. As much as it is I pay my taxes, but those rates can go up, we can actually bring that down if we all pitch in and do what we have to do. And maybe that will be, you know, the level at which this goes.
You know, and I encourage people to go to the city website under trash and recyclables. There's a how do I dispose of this section. And I also encourage people to check out the Berkshire Environmental Action Team's website. BEAT offers a lot of alternatives and ideas for how we can be more friendly to the environment. But being more friendly to the environment can also save us money when it comes to not putting things into the waste stream.
Right. Great ideas right there. Only a couple minutes left of the show, Pete White, and we appreciate you being here again to answer all these things and to talk about the things happening in the city. Tons of stuff going on. I got to say, give a little plug to this morning at 10 a.m. There is a virtual cable television hearing for the Cable Advisory Committee, and you were there on Wednesday night. What a great turnout, and people were very concerned about lots of different aspects of their cable TV service, but then also a great vote of confidence for PCTV. So I thank you for being there and mentioning the things that you did as well. Again, people have an opportunity today at 10 a.m. to jump in and have their voice heard on that Zoom call.
Yeah, and I encourage people to, you know, make sure your voice is heard at any public hearing that you have a say into. But this one, you know, definitely let everyone know why Pittsfield Community Television is important to you, especially if you're tuning in now, learning a little bit more about the city, but also, you know, what else with just the cable part of that Spectrum Charter bill and everything else, services that are provided, at least let the committee that's looking at this, the Cable Advisory Committee, know what your concerns are. They may not be able to take care of all of them. It's not internet, it's not phone, but they can hopefully look at that cable side and, you know, once again, negotiate that best contract for the city.
People do have concerns, and that's the chance to get it out there. Pete White, president of the Pittsfield City Council, thanks so much for being here today, and we'll see you again next time. Lots more to talk about.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, take care, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we will see you again next week. Take care.